Hello, my name is Cornel Green, and I am the Failure Guy. Welcome to the podcast. On this episode of the Failure Guy podcast, my guest is Shauna Lynn. Shauna, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the conversation.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I love that I met you last week, and here's our first real conversation.
Yes, indeed. It's literally, folks out there in podcast land, at time of recording, this is literally a week to the day that Shauna and I met. And I think that's the shortest amount of time of someone that I've known in real life has been a guest on the podcast. The last two episodes, as you folks may remember, was the first guest that I had that I had absolutely no personal connection with prior to the podcast. He found me on the internet through a Gemini search because he was looking to promote his book. He asked Gemini to find him a podcast that related to what he was up to give him who the principal contact was, yours truly, my LinkedIn profile, and some episodes of my podcast. So like I say, this is the first time that the Failure Guy was found in the wild. And so I feel kind of privileged. But again, I definitely feel super privileged to have you as my guest. And look, I just got to be honest, full confession, folks, just to be talking with you at all and to be able to see your lovely persona, because it was so wonderful and thrilling and exhilarating meeting you last week. And I'm glad that that was not the last time. So for those out there in podcast land and for me, why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so where to start? This is that hardest question that comes up. Where do I start? I live in this beautiful, rich world of experiences where my life is a series of failures and successes. So right now in this moment, I'm on my next journey of success. I really do hope it's not a failure, I'm believing. I created a platform that will hopefully connect people that they'll want to go out in person and feel more comfortable integrating back into community. That comes from my knowledge of being a teacher, a fitness instructor, a health strategist, and a psychotherapist. And my last one is doing my PhD in sexology. Oh, and my. I dabble in psychedelics. So my. I'm having a really good time with life.
That is amazing. That, first of all, that's quite a resume and quite a diverse set of learnings. And I have to confess, I remember for those out there, obviously they don't know, but we do. Haha. We met at a gig for an organization that was doing a book tour, and they were doing they were also a band having their 29th year celebration. One of my colleagues, Regina Regina. Why am I forgetting her last name? Don't worry about it. Sorry, Regina. And she was actually a guest on the podcast. And I did sound for this performance. And you know, so Regina had met Shauna in Toronto. And as I say, Regina is a collector of people, interesting people. So she walks in and here comes this magnificently beautiful woman. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I suddenly remember that I have hormones. and I remember you sat down and one of the first things that you said, if you don't mind my saying this, was you're like, oh, this reminds me of some of the sex clubs I've been in. I was like, say what now? It's like you had my attention. Now you've had my interest. And then, of course, you go ahead.
I do like to start conversations off in a place where people are a little shocked. I like shock value a little bit. But I stepped into recently being free with my vocabulary and my personality and my hobbies. I sat in years and years of masking and not sharing, wondering where I could say certain things. As a teacher, you know, you have this professional like box to sit in. And I did that so well as a parent, as a daughter, as a registered psychotherapist. There's just these rules that just keep getting put on top of me. Yeah. And I just kept shrinking. So 2 weeks ago when I met Regina on a Saturday, it was... honestly, the first time I took my new personality, my new identity out to play.
Really?
Yeah. 2 weeks before that, I signed with Lucky Book Publishing to finally publish the three books that are sitting in my computer so beautifully.
Okay. Well, you know, I find that amazing because one of the things that struck me about you in first meeting was just that you were such a dynamic personality and you seemed very confident and in your power. Because, look, I gotta admit, you're a very beautiful woman. I certainly appreciate that about
Thank
you.
you.
But what struck me is your confidence in your beauty, knowing that you are physically beautiful and owning it, and not, like you say, not shrinking from it. So that this is a new aspect. I was like, wow, because I felt like, oh, this woman's been like this forever.
Thank you, like so much. That went right to my heart in that moment. Like I'm about to cry. That person that you saw has been dabbling in that for years. I could be one person during the day as a teacher, dealing with all of the stress of the systems that aren't working. And then I'd go and dance at night and be free. But that free dancing soul where I can like shake my head and move my body and just like talk to strangers, that wasn't really allowed in your day. It was like two different people. And then my family also, like, they're very conservative, boring, limited feelings, all of them. I'm like crazy to them.
You're like the outcast.
But then when I go out to communities and this parts of this personality fit in, like I've gone to tantric communities. I'm in like sound baths and spirituality, and I do pole dancing. Like I ride a motorcycle, I have a Harley.
Ooh,
I can touch
wow.
anything with this energy. And every time someone hears about that, you're doing that again and more, it's not enough. I'm like, why is that label put on me if I want to have adventures and do things? Like, why is it better to sit on the couch and behind technology than do the things I'm doing? Why are people picking on me?
Right. Well, I don't know, and they need to back off. Riding a motorcycle, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I'm at the age I kind of feel I'm too old to start learning to ride a two-wheeler. I have looked at those Can-Ams, the reverse tricycles, as I call them, with the two
Yeah.
wheels in the front. But
They're great.
yeah, because here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you ride a bike, you're gonna dump at least once. It's
Oh,
almost
yeah.
inevitable. And between the skin, the road rash, and the bones, I'm just a little too fragile at this age to be
Yeah.
starting out in that. Although I do understand why the leather thing, it's, well, I mean, look, I live here in New York and it's Pride Week, so leather means an entirely different thing. But it's like, yeah, you don't want to be scraping on a dump, in, like, I remember I lived in Jersey in my 20s trying to be a musician. And I remember just being on the top of this hill, and no, it wasn't in Jersey, it was before that. It was in 1981. I'm just getting out of the Air Force, my brief stint there, and these two kids are on, like, a not quite a motorcycle, like a maybe a dirt bike, maybe a 400 cc or something. There's two of them. They are bare chested, no helmets, in flip-flops and shorts. And they ride away, and I'm like, oh. Then I was like 20 at the time. I was like, dude, no, just
No.
no. What are you doing?
No, it's a responsibility to every hobby you choose. Right? Wearing the jacket, making sure your head is covered. I rode for 15 years. Well, 10 for a lot, and then 5 on and off. And it was exhilarating. And at some point, you also have to, I like to be alive and the way that the roads are out there now. And then the, also too, like I love like newcomers to our country and their road re responsibilities are different than people who grew up here. So I stopped riding. I actually sold my bike this summer for it's like my first summer without it. I'm okay. I'm okay. I got in the car and I drove through the Virginia mountains. I did the Blue Ridge in my car
Oh,
a
my.
couple of weeks ago. And I was like, I could still have the same adventures without a motorcycle. Now I could stop. I'm wearing little clothes, not my chaps and my boots. It's a whole different experience, but just as beautiful. So,
Although not for
yeah.
nothing, I'm sure you were quite fetching in your chaps and boots.
Oh, I still have them for the costumes for the kink stuff, that's for sure.
Okay.
Right? And Pride Week, if I
There
ever,
you go.
if it works with the weather.
Speaking of which, I have to tell this story myself. This was back in the late 90s. After 8 years of trying to be a musician on the Jersey Shore, a cousin of mine somehow got me an interview at Lehman Brothers, and I ended up becoming a sysop there in 93. But I'm still following local bands here in the city, and it's one afternoon. I'm coming from a hangout, and to me, I'm in my rock and roll gear. finally up here I could afford. I bought myself a pair of leather pants. I got my engineer boots. I got my MC jacket on, and I'm
I
walking
see
up
it.
6th Avenue, and I come into the Chelsea area. And again, it was this time of year, and I notice, guy passes me, sort of gives me a look. Another guy passes me, gives me a look. A couple of guys pass by and give me a like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not only in Chelsea, it's Pride Week. And I'm dressed in head to toe black leather. Now, where I
Oh,
was
yeah.
in Alphabet City and down the Lower East Side, this rock and roll dude. But up here, dude, you're leather boy. And I just had to chuckle because I'm like, why are these guys looking? Oh.
Oh,
Oh,
right.
context is everything.
And that's an interesting point. So, like, something like leather can go across every personality, every genre. Everybody wears it different. And those are the things that I've always just hidden from one to the other. What if we integrate all of that? Like, I love my costumes and the things I wear and the way I dress. It's self-expression for me. And when I go places, I attract attention from my clothing, which is better than attracting attention to me, right? That was that insecurity. When you grow up gifted with a good look, people automatically like look at your looks more than anything about me. And like you said, I have this electric energy that men find sexy. Like I could be wearing pajamas and bounce in and somebody's attracted to me. And then I could be wearing like my leather chaps and another male energy. I
Different tone.
have this energy.
Yeah.
It's been
I'm
my
here to attest.
nemesis. Ah, thank you. And I like flirting. I like men being activated by my energy. Not, there's not that energy of women where men are comfortable with without thinking, like, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to look like a creep. What am I going to do? Like, men have it really challenging with women,
Oh, you were
especially
so you were
strong women.
right. You were basically reading my mind last Saturday then, because all of that was
Yes.
going through my head.
Right. Well, that's it. Like, here you see this woman. I saw the attraction. I mean, I felt your energy too. I feel it differently. I'm attracted to humans. I don't
Yes.
really look at men or women. I just love beautiful humans. And you just had this beautiful glow about you. And I felt like you had gotten there and you just didn't really know what to do with yourself yet. Like, your energy came out the minute you got up into your comfort zone. Right? You were like a different human. That was your costume. Sitting on the couch was challenging for you. Who do I talk to? What do I say? Small talk sucks.
Well, you read me like a comic book. I mean, that's exactly because I thought about it. I mean, to full disclosure, I did think, well, I'd kind of like to stand here and what? Flirt with? I think what do I don't know. It's like, you know what? I'm here to be the sound guy. That's my element. So, and also, I got to watch you on the dance floor all night. So, certainly didn't mind that. But like you said, I was able to switch on, and literally not physically. I didn't change my clothes, but it was a costume I adopted. I was like, now I am sound guy, and I'm hype man for the band, and I got to jump up on the mic and sing, the high harmonies on Crazy Train. And I felt in my element, and it's like, okay, this is because it actually it was my way of responding to your power, and I didn't want to feel disempowered. It's like she's so powerful out there. Well, here's my seat of power, literally. I'm the most elevated platform of this whole everybody there. I'm even higher than the band. I'm controlling the sound, and I can and I can be myself. To be a goofball shouting out, swearing more than I normally do, rock and fucking roll, and all that kind of good stuff, and feeding off of the energy of the crowd, getting them hyped up, and receiving that energy, because I do miss that from my performing days. A lot of people, you understand this. When people say you feel the energy of the audience, it's not figurative. You are literally, these people are all beaming.
I dance. When I dance, the reason I dance is so much stories come to me and so much energy lands on me every day and negativity and pain. How do you get that out of your
Ooh.
body without music and movement? So music, when I do that, it's somatic healing. I'm moving, I'm doing somatic movements. There's a pattern. I'm stretching my body for the movement that it needs every day. I put that into my dance. Now, there's two parts of it. When I'm uncomfortable being that showy on the dance floor, unless I have somebody who's watching me that I know is safe, which was you that evening,
Really?
and Regina, of course. There's also that piece where I did find you attractive, your energy, not sexually, because that like comes later for me. Intimacy is so
Yes,
much
of
more
course.
than sex.
Of course.
And again, this body attracts sex really pretty
Hello.
easily. So
Hello.
I have to have boundaries, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So there's that place where I find someone attractive and I do want to flirt with somebody and I'm scared that that person will take it, right?
Yeah,
Like
too far, too
how
fast.
much, right? But you and I had such a great energy. Like you looked at me, I smiled at you, we were dancing, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that you were enjoying me, not imagining me,
Yes,
for lack of
wow.
better words.
Wow. Well, I have to say you are very perceptive, because that's exactly what
Thank
I
you.
was experiencing. And because I did go through, and as you said so aptly, I went through that male thing. It's like, wow, I dig her. She's really attractive. I don't want to send out the wrong vibes, because,
Right.
full disclosure, not that anybody's known, that it's been more than a decade and a half since my last relationship. I've sort of been burying myself into my business and building it up. And then the last few years of my mother's life, I was, with her every day. And so part of me was like, like I said, wow. Like a pinball machine, all the tickers were going off. But it's like, wow, I am so out of league with this. I don't even know how to approach it.
Right.
So I'm going to distance myself, because I don't want to be a stumble bum. I don't want to be a creepy guy
Right.
on the dance floor.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep a respectful distance. I did feel that there was a vibe there. It's like, so let that be whatever it's going to be. And if this is all that it is, it's a lovely night. And if there's anything
Right.
more than that, we'll see. But let me
Right.
go to where I'm in. And I honestly, I'm just so touched that you said you felt my presence as a safe observer. That's so perceptive, because I don't even think I was aware of playing that role. When you say it rings true, but
Well, you did say it because you said that you matched my energy. You saw me electric, so you took that energy right up to there and you stepped in. Here you are doing this. It's been a long time and things change and our heads are always in different places. And that was a big weekend of energy in the city.
Yes.
So it took a lot more effort for you to leave your house and get there.
Yes.
And seeing Regina in person and being back there, like that was a lot for you. You as a male energy might not do that reflection as quickly as I do, is who I
Definitely.
am in my wisdom. But
Yes.
I could see that's probably one of my gifts, and so hard for me to explain when you say, like, who are you? What do you do? I
Yeah.
see people's patterns inside of them in minutes, and I can understand where they came from, what they're feeling, and where they're going, all in one picture.
Wow.
I ended up in, like, I shared a room with Hal
Ah.
over this weekend. Like, we were
Okay.
strangers last week. We met in Toronto.
Wow.
And
Okay.
like, he didn't have a hotel room. It was expensive. And like, he's already like spent a lot on that tour.
Yes.
So I'm like, let's stay together. So we slept in the same room and like as strangers,
Yeah,
right? Same
wow.
thing. There's just like, I now, it's my responsibility as a woman. This is my biggest learning in the last year of finding this human.
Yes.
If I set the energy and the boundary, men were just going to meet it. I don't need to worry about if you want to sleep with me, if you find me attractive in that way. It's none of my business. My business is setting the
Wow.
friendship so that you
Right.
and I can share this beautiful energy.
Yes.
And you can learn how to be yourself with me and then go out and find somebody who's just perfect for you in the life that you have.
Yeah, wow. I tell this story often. Regina and I are involved with an organization in Orlando called Herd Ventures, and we are both on a leadership team there. I've been working with that organization since 2019, and have been a client of theirs since 2014. And I tell the story of in 2020, I'm sitting there in front of my computer, living with my family at the time in Laurelton, Queens. And I had tended to think of myself, like my favorite Star Trek character is Spock. I tend to think of
Yeah.
myself as an intellectual being. And to me, my perception was the real world is the measurable world, the concrete, tangible
Yeah.
world. So, what you can measure and weigh. And all
Yep.
of this, what I call the woo-woo stuff, the
Yep.
airy-fairy sort of stuff, was
Yep.
like, that's fabricated in makeup. And I was
Yeah.
sitting there thinking one day, I thought, wait a minute. Before there was language, there was energy. And in
Yeah.
fact, E equals MC squared, right? The fundamental physical equation of the 20th century that gave us the atomic bomb and nuclear energy. It's an equation, and the equal sign says that what's on one side is the same as what's on the other side. So energy equals mass or matter accelerated to the speed of light times itself. Very, 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 very,
Yeah.
very fast. So
Yeah.
solve the equation for m. So you divide both sides by c squared. Mass equals energy slowed down by a factor of c squared. So mass is just slow energy. And in fact, we
Yeah.
know this with subatomic and quantum physics. There is no solid. There is no there. It's all waves and forms and patterns of energies that interfere and refract with each other. So I was like, so wait a minute. I've had it backwards all along. There's no such thing
Yeah.
as a kilogram or a megabyte or a gigahertz. That's the made-up stuff. The
Yeah.
real stuff is the woo-woo, is the energy, is the
Yeah.
vibing. So when you say that you can pick up on people's energies, I want the people in the audience to understand this. That's not just figurative speaking. That's the reality. And I know people like me have a hard time
Yeah.
grasping that this isn't just some psycho voodoo hoodoo nonsense.
Right.
That's
Okay.
real.
Yeah. It this is that economy of thought, right? We are sold a system of thinking that we trust the people who are giving it to us. Why would you lie to me? You know something I don't know, and now you're sharing it with me. I want to believe you. We're taught that across medical, government, education. And then there's these people like me who are like, I don't believe that. I don't believe that that is exactly what we measure. Like, money is perfect. I love money. Money loves me. It comes and goes all the time. Now, I'd like it to stay, but for it to stay, I need to believe that I'm worthy of having it and honor it at the same time. So we see that money brings greed, money brings angry, money is not happy, money brings just as much problems as poverty. Just different ones.
Right.
So, if you want to invite money in, and this is the easiest way to kind of like talk about it, if you want to invite anything in, you need to think about it in a positive way. If you study for an exam, you look at the information, you bring it into you, you integrate it, and then you put it on paper and someone marks it. Okay, source. Thank you for bringing money into my bank account so I could see it. What do I have to do to get it? Well, I
Right.
have to be kind. If I'm balanced, it will bring me more happiness. If I respect it, I won't like waste it. So all the energy of thought, the currency of your energy to get money is where the woo-woo lives. I believe I'm going to do good. I want to wake up in the morning with positivity. I'm not going to be angry. If someone cuts me off, I'm going to give them love because they're probably having a worse day than me.
Right. And it's again so fascinating and such synchronicity. I do lots of workshops with solo entrepreneurs and what I call accidental entrepreneurs like myself. I've told the story often on this podcast that I worked in technology since 1993 until my last full-time job, which ended because of the subprime mortgage meltdown. I was IT manager at an architectural firm that had Spielberg, Seinfeld, the United Nations, and Yale School of Architecture as private clients. I used to joke, well, my employers are millionaires, their customers are billionaires. I'm not going to get laid off unless the entire economy crashes, which sadly it did in 2008. And so I shot my resume around. They wanted me to do four jobs for 80% of one salary, and that's when I realized I had to go to work for myself. And I've come to the understanding that to me, money is just an exchange of energy. Because now, flash forward to 2017, I'm teaching a web design course for the City College of New York in their night school. And at one point, I guess we're on the chapter about e-commerce, and I take out a $20 bill and I hold it up and I say, "What is this worth?" And everyone says, "$20." I'm like, "No, this note is worth nothing until I exchange it with somebody who gives
Something.
me what I consider to be $20 of value. And then you know what it is in their cash box? It's worth nothing. Money is the energy. This is just a placeholder. Money is the
It's the value, right?
exactly,
Like the
exactly.
kilogram, like the kilowatt. Again, we need to put a value on things, but no one has put a value on energy yet. Like, think about my energy. If I come into that dance area and no one's dancing,
Right.
the whole evening is kind of like just this. You need
Right.
one person to take the energy of risk,
Yes.
the energy of confidence, get in the middle and be the center of attention.
Yes.
That's me. I'm happy to put myself in that place. It's only 1 minute of my energy and everything shifts around me.
Right.
People have never really understood to be the first person, to be the one that's the disruptor, to be the one that brings the conversations and the conflict up to the table is exhausting all the
Yes.
time.
Yes. And you know that
Even
reminds me.
though,
Go ahead.
go ahead. Oh, even though it's the most beautiful thing that changes everything.
Yes. Yes. Now, I was about to say that my friend that I told you about that lives in the Midwest, my friend Vio, we met following this local band here in New York, a band called 69 Nova. And what I liked about it was that it was fronted by a woman, and there's a three-piece band of guys that, you know, drum, bass, and guitars. There's a dynamic female lead singer. And it was a sort of music where a mosh pit could come out, but it was a co-ed
Okay.
mosh pit. And sometimes V and I were the ones that had to seed the crowd. You know, there were people standing around and are like, you know, here comes a song, and they're kind of standing around looking at each other, and it's like, okay, we're gonna go out on the floor. And if it's just us, we're gonna get, and then people, oh, we're doing that? Oh, okay. And one of the things, and we talk about it to this day, even though it's like 30 years later almost, it was a co-ed mosh pit. And we loved seeing, you know, because they had a very steady following. So you get like a young gal, this is maybe her third Nova show, and she's seeing the pit, and she's seeing that there's girls in the pit. And you ever like jump double dutch, jump rope?
Totally.
Okay. So you know how you get your body in that rhythm before you
Oh,
jump
yeah.
in? So you could
Totally.
see them, and this is mostly like they don't even realize they're doing it. You could
I
see
know.
they're thinking to themselves, am I gonna, I think I'm gonna jump in there and do that. And you sort of like just think, come on, you can do it. And then they jump in, and it's so liberating for them. And then we just enjoy doing that. And we kind of also were like the vanguards. You know, sometimes boys get stupid, you know? And we were like the sort of the coolers to like, nah, buddy. This is a safe space for everybody. You're doing that, you need to get out of here. This is a pit for everybody.
When you have those leadership skills, it's wonderful to be able to use them across different hobbies. Right? You know that
Yes.
you can create that safe space. I have that energy in me, right? If someone's standing on the peripheral, I'm always in the middle dancing. I dance like I could dance 7 days a week. There, I'm the one that pulls people in all the time. I'm like, come dance with me for a minute. The minute they have the permission to do what I'm doing, people love to imitate me. I think it's the best form of flattery. If
Yes.
you can take my confidence that I have on the dance floor and inhale it a little bit, plant a little seed that you too can do anything, go for it.
And then take
Right?
it off the dance floor.
Well, that's what I'm trying. Regina is able to do that. She has
Yes.
this beautiful energy. Like her and I met, and like the same thing, our eyes, like it was like we fell in love in a second. And Hal
Yeah.
kept saying that the two of you are going to be like best friends. And it was like an instant moment. We sat next to each other. I said something to her, like just as dangerous as I said, like in the when I met you. And she burst out laughing. She's like, "Oh my God, I love you."
Yes,
Like
indeed.
she knew I was that safe space of woo-woo,
Yeah.
right? Like I hold as much energy as possible that this universe is like, it's a simulation and I'm like a player in their game, right? The frequency is, what am I doing every day? Am I like hanging on to the angry shit and bitching and complaining? Or am I standing in the frequency of, we can do better? You're doing better. You're doing beautiful things.
Yeah.
I'm doing beautiful things. Regina Howe. And all of a sudden, all four of us are in the same place. The
Yeah.
frequency of what was in that event space of how many people
Yes.
who are doing good things.
Yes.
Imagine if we like even stop for a moment and like set the frequency all together to have permission to be free that evening. Like,
Yes.
I want the message of what I'm doing to set people free. Give
Yes.
themselves permission to try anything. Failure is my favorite thing. I've failed so many times. I'm so good at it.
Yes. And as I like to remind the audience, for me, for the failure guy, failure is an acronym, which stands for First Attempts in Learning Using Real Experience.
Oh, I read that. I loved
Yeah.
it. It's
And
true.
yeah, because here's the thing. We were talking about this before we started the recording. In 2017, I had the idea that I wanted to do a podcast called The Failure Guy. And I was walking around and where I was living in Queens, New York at the time, and I was listening to some, I don't even remember what podcast in my head earphones. It was some NPR kind of thing. And during a break, there was an announcement that at the Columbia University Teachers College, there was going to be a 2-day lecture series on the success of failure.
Ooh.
And I was like, wow, this is like, I'd never listened to that podcast before since, don't even remember what it was. I never would have known
Universe.
about this. And
Again,
so I,
universe gave it to you right
yeah,
away.
and I attended it, and I said, okay, this is it. I'm supposed to do this. In fact, two of my first guests on the podcast, one was a Columbia University teacher who was also a trombone player. Interesting to have conversations about the relationship of failure because he's a jazz trombonist and how improvisation and sometimes you fail, and that's part of the process. And one was one of the people who was a guest there, and. But when I told my brain trust about the podcast, they were excited for me to start a podcast. But I told them the name of the podcast. You would have thought I was standing on the roof of a 20th story building about to jump. They were like, no, Cornell, no,
Right.
failure. Don't call it that. Oh my God, could you come up with another name? And I said to them, you see the way you're reacting to that word?
I want that.
That's why I have to call it the
Yeah.
failure guy.
Yeah. That's that actually gives me permission to go with my DeLulu today, right? When I chose DeLulu to kind of like bring people into this platform that I've created where a provider of any information can make money and meet with people who need that information. And we're sharing wisdom across technology instead of keeping it to ourselves. And when I called it DeLulu, it was just so exciting for me because I
Yes.
wanted people to be like, what? Why are you using that word? I'm like, because we are
Yes.
all delusional. If you
Yes.
think you can make it through your life alone, you are sitting in delusion. It's
Yes.
going to eat at you. You will be sick. You will not be healthy. You will not feel good. You will not share energy. You will be in limitation and scarcity.
Yes.
We need to keep connecting and moving frequency.
Yes.
It's the only responsibility.
Could you hold on for just a second? Speaking of being on brand, I failed to turn my tablet off and an alarm is going off and it's going to go on for
Oh,
several minutes. So I'm going to step away for just a
okay.
second. In
Step
fact,
away.
you can keep talking. I will be right back.
I will plug DeLulu while you're gone. Please go to Get Curious at DeLulu today and sign up for the wait list. I'm looking for 100 beta testers over the month of July. I want to see if this program, platform, movement, mission, purpose, passion actually works. It is, you are a user, you get a device delivered, you get a text delivered to your device daily that asks, what's your DeLulu today? And within 90 seconds, you can get matched with someone who's ready to talk to you that day to help you move your dial, to help you feel healthier in your mind, body, or soul. Choose something different. Stop a spiral. On the other side are providers. Anybody can be a provider as long as you go through the assessment of healthy thinking, because we want positivity as the frequency of movement through this technology. Do you share your wisdom with someone? Have you raised a child? Have you gone through education? Have you done something that other people are looking for so that you too can learn from them? I love learning from people. Every time I have a conversation, I learn something. How do I have these conversations? By interacting and connecting, because I'm an extrovert. If you're an introvert and you're on technology, your conversations are still limited. So here's 30 minutes that you pay for. It's $1 a minute, not expensive. Same almost as like $30. $30 to change your mind for a week is pretty affordable if it gets you into this place where, look at my confidence that you felt on the dance floor. When I walked in that room, that is me building this platform. I put it into an app so other people can do what I do with less funds, less time, and more opportunity to share their wisdom. Like, right? Like generation to generation, we've gone away from that with all this noise on technology. How much content can you create? How about how much wisdom can you share?
And this was
Yay! Oh my
designed
God,
to.
hold on. That sounded really good. That's the first time I did that like stream of consciousness without
Woo!
like a paper. Oh,
Okay. Hey,
thank you.
all right. And it's recorded. It's recorded if you
Yay!
wanted to get it. So that's amazing. See, this is what I love about these conversations that I have with people, and that's why in our discussion before we started, I shared that I don't like to do a lot of prep before we get
Yeah.
into the podcast because it's spontaneous and everyone discovered. I love that my guests discover things within what they're up to in the world because it just
Yes.
comes out
Yeah.
of it. They're not coming from notes or prepared
Right.
script or anything like that. And
Yeah.
as I say, I hope that everyone out there that's listening gets something out of it. But even if I'm the only one that listens to these, I am so edified and uplifted by these conversations, and I learned so much. Because I remember when I saw Delulu today, I was like, my first thought was, wait, is that hers? Because it's to me, it seems so obvious to
Right.
brand with Delulu. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's her thing. Okay. Because I totally got it right off the bat. I was like,
Yeah.
Delulu.com. I was like, yeah, I'm with that vibe. I totally get
Yeah.
it. But I could see where people are like, really? That's what you want to do?
Right. Yeah, that is what I want to do. There's this place where I've been masking all my delusions that all of this can't fit in. Why can't I be the person I want to be? Even if there's judgment on the other side, I don't have to receive it. It doesn't have to impact me. There's millions of people. Do I really care about the judgment of thousands when there's millions? There's always going to be somebody who doesn't vibe with me. Okay, great. I don't vibe with you. Right? You're boring. I'm not. I'm fun. I want to play. I want to work. I want to love. I want to live life. I do not want to sit inside a box. I just sold my condo after 8 years. Yeah, I just let it go. I'm like living like nowhere right now.
Well,
Yeah.
that's a very lovely looking nowhere behind you.
Yeah, this is my partner right now. I'm living in a room in his house until I decide where I'm going. So
Okay. Very
very
cool. Very
exciting.
cool.
Yeah.
But Regina and I share an experience with a training called Landmark Education. I like to
Yep.
think of it as the grandchild of EST training. And there's
Yep.
a concept in Landmark that you are not responsible for other people's opinions of you.
I know.
And that is what you were so perfectly encapsulating just now.
Yeah, but how often do you let other people's opinion impact you?
Yeah,
Every
too
day,
often.
right? Why? Like, I keep asking why. That's what got me started on researching patterns, right? The patterns of healthy, how does healthy impact intimacy?
Say more about that. Yeah.
That's my PhD thesis. Well, it's like if you're healthy in your body, that brings one part of intimacy. People are attracted to what you look like. If you're healthy in your mind, you need the sapiosexual energy. Like, if you don't stimulate my mind, I'm not going to be stimulated to like open up my energy to let you in sexually.
Right.
Right? And then the energy of play, like if we can't play with each other and flirt and tease, if that stops being the energy in your home, in your relationship, in your communication, once again, how are you going to feel safe and want to have sex? Like, how do
Wow.
you get there if you block it, right? With not being healthy. If you let your body go, then you're definitely not respecting yourself. You're not going to invite someone in to touch you.
Yeah.
If your
Yeah, when you
mind's
don't
not
even like
healthy
touching
during the,
yourself. Yeah.
right, you don't even touch yourself. You don't want to look at your body. You keep it covered. You don't
Yeah.
look in the mirror. Like, I did a whole, like, I had body dysmorphia. Like, I
Ooh.
was told I was fat, that I needed to lose weight, that my shape was not the one that was good enough for I don't know what. So I did mirror work. Louise Hay talks about this all the time. You look in the mirror and you like look at yourself and you're like, I love you, I love you. The words that go to the mirror come back to you into your DNA cells while you're drinking water that you blessed with love actually changes the way you look at yourself. And then you
Wow.
start looking better. When I started this journey at the beginning of 2025, people in front of me were like, you're radiating, your eyes are clear, your skin is good. When you feel healthy because you like yourself in the mirror, you make better choices every day. I've just proven this in like my own research of me, which is where the whole app came from. I needed all
Wow.
these pieces to get here.
Okay.
So
Okay. Now you talk about play and something that I started about, I don't even remember how long ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I stopped doom scrolling, and even well
oh.
before that, I don't read the news, I don't watch news, I don't listen to the radio, I don't buy newspapers or anything. And I start each day, part of why I sleep with, my devices, which was going off in my bed, and I told myself twice that I should turn it completely off, and of course I didn't, but then I failed to do that. It's failure guy, totally on brand. But I start each day.
And hold on, the reframe was you gave me an opportunity to like say my stream of consciousness really quickly. I
There
had
you
that
go.
minute. Why not take it? So thank
There you
you.
go. Okay. So it wasn't a failure. It was what was supposed to happen.
No.
There you go.
Yeah, it was might
And
have been a failure for you, but an opportunity for me.
yes,
Sometimes
yes.
that's the impact.
There you go. And but I before I even get out of bed every morning, I watch videos that make me laugh out loud. I'm talking belly laugh, laugh
I
till I'm
love that.
crying. And then that's how I start my day. And I know it's, the serotonin and the endorphins and all that kind of stuff, but just being on that.
No. No judgment there. You actually are choosing something that starts your day off with everything but grief and loneliness. The minute laughter hits your body, you're like ready to do your day and be your awesome self. If you didn't have that laughter, imagine the thoughts that would come with you on your whole journey today.
Oh, been there.
So you, right? Yeah. So you pick something that's healthy for you. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I don't judge those things. I think if you can add stretching while you're watching them, that would be even more healthy. Stand up and stretch while you watch it. Or lie on the floor and like twist your body side to side while you're laughing. Add one more thing to it, right?
Okay.
And then share that. Share something funny with somebody you talk to. Next ripple of frequency.
Fascinating, fascinating. So walk us through a little bit, if you could briefly, the journey from what, physical trainer, licensed therapist,
Teacher,
teacher,
therapist.
exactly.
Did not do well in high school. My neurodiversity got in the way, as did weed. And there was so much more learning outside of the classroom, right? Books, like I can inhale a book in a minute, but like conversations with different people, and everyone had cars, and I'd always find my way in one of them. So I had adventure after adventure. That didn't really lead to going to university so quickly. So I did need to have a career. So I chose early childhood education. It was like a diploma program, easy to do. And like I was making good money for that time, for that age. I knew that wasn't going to be enough for me. Again, I always wanted more. So I went to teachers college, got married. Then I had two kids with who are profound hearing loss. They have cochlear implants. So
Oh.
that's a whole nother story. And that led me to become a teacher of the deaf, a philanthropist. mentor. I ran an organization called Voice for Hearing Impaired Children, all these things. I got my master's in education. I started realizing I was smart outside of
Wow.
the school system, even though I was a teacher in it, and I kept getting degrees, even though I didn't like it. I just kept pushing accessibility and advocacy as much as I could. And I realized that information comes to me differently than others, and the school system doesn't know how to teach that way.
Right.
So I attended classes. I kind of did my own thing while I was in the class because you had to be there. And then I learned differently. So I
Right.
started putting that together. And, you know, that whole journey of parenthood and then divorce and then change. And in that time, I had a lovely younger brother, 16 years younger than me. And at 28, he decided this world was not for him. He'd
Oh,
struggled with mental
no.
health for 5 years. He took his life and switched our whole family dynamics. And when your family doesn't believe in woo-woo or mental health or therapy, you're kind of like hanging on your own. How do I heal?
Right.
Like the devastation in your system. So I went back to school to be a psychotherapist.
Wow.
I studied spiritual psychotherapy and I loved it. I understood that my source, my intuition was like this whole real thing I didn't even know existed. And then I started doing psychotherapy, which I did not like. I changed during COVID. I retired from teaching. I became a psychotherapist. But the stories are so heavy and they just brought me down more and more and more. I wasn't breathing
Yeah.
anymore.
Wow.
And even if I was like shaking it off and dancing, and the more stories I heard, the healthier I got. And I realized I cannot sit in front of the computer fixing one person's story at a time, changing it, shifting it. It just wasn't working for me. We need more. So I started looking at what's more. And I started looking at like all the different ways that we can heal our bodies outside of medicine, which I already knew. Now I just like, I learned Reiki and I learned like magnetic, like ion changing. And I learned breath work and, you know, shamanism and psychedelics. And I just keep learning and doing. And I keep feeling better and better and healthier. And I'm sleeping better. And menopause didn't hit me. It just went right past me. And I'm able to have this much energy at 6:30 in the morning till the evening. And now I'm doing my PhD in sexology. I'm not sure what I want to do with it, but it's just fun learning it and talking about it. And I've had tons of hobbies. I play baseball, I ride the motorcycle, I do pole dancing, I roller skate. Like, I just want to be part of life, period. I travel, I tour, I just do anything that comes in front of me because I do not want to let life pass me by. I just want to grab it all. So,
It sounds to me like your educational journey has not been about collecting credentials, but you educate to edify yourself.
ooh, I like that. Edify. Yes. Yeah. Well, when you can learn from like a whole group of people asking questions and teachers who are experts in things, it's like beautiful for me. I don't care about the grades. I'm not looking for, yeah, like doctor in front of my name will be beautiful, no doubt. Like definitely worth the work I'm putting in. And it's not going to change what I do every day, right? It may change how other people see me because right now they see this like fun person playing and dancing and jumping around in forests rather than working hard on the computer. But what if that is the work that I do? What if the forest brings me the channeling that brings me things that are good for you? What if that's my learning?
And that's so great. And the thinking of you jumping around in the forest and that being part of your work, I am at a point in my career because what I do now for a living to make the money is I build platforms for solo entrepreneurs and small business owners. So all of the things that they would have to say to go to Shopify or ClickFunnels or, Constant Contact, I build all of that into a self-owned platform for them using the WordPress. Content management system. So like why rent when you can own, and then they own all of their data, everything's fully integrated. But then I often think if there was, say, there was an EMP and all technology went out, we're now back to just, manual everything. Nobody needs what I do in terms of the technology. Nobody needs a website. I mean, I love this because otherwise I'd have to come up to Toronto in order to have a conversation with you. So I certainly
Right.
appreciate it. I
Yeah.
love the fact that I have a podcast out in the world that somebody looking to promote what they were up to could find me, and we've had
Yeah.
two conversations, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, because I was like, it's, and listening to you, I love your way of looking at the world. It's like, dude, it's not about technology versus reality. It's not either or. So like you say, no judgment. I love you. You've said that several times during our conversation. The purpose of what I do is not about the process of how I do it. You know, because I don't build websites. I build platforms for people to do what they're up to in the world. The fact that I happen to use, websites and technology and the internet and all of these
Right.
sorts of things. But it's not, look at this fancy website that I've built. It's like you are, one of my clients is the Haitian American Nurses Association of Greater New York. Another client is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists of New York. So
Yeah.
I get to work with real people who are up to real things in the world, and I get to enable
Right.
and empower them with what I do.
You
And
do. Your skill set that you are delivering to them is giving them the ease of doing their mission.
yes.
Without you, their energy would be divided into the technology, into the computer. Like,
Yes.
can you imagine me wasting, which I do, I'm wasting days trying to figure out how to get my whole funnel all synced in this computer with all this knowledge that I've been collecting, and it's overwhelming. It
Right.
stops me from going out there and connecting.
Yes.
So what you do is essential. If I do not have somebody like you on my side, I can't do what I need to do. So it's an essential service. What I'm really trying to do, and this is another thing that I think that we will be able to do together, is I want to bring back in-person impromptu kind of like drop in and have some fun kind of thing. Like, I go to parks and I do cartwheels and handstands. I know. And I just bought a drone that's going to follow me and record it all.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding.
Right? So then I can dance and play and I don't have to worry about where I am in the visual of the phone. So
Right.
I'm going to open it this afternoon and take it to the beach today.
Woohoo! All right,
And
that
yes,
is.
you can help me take my video, what I talk in my voice notes, and overlay it on that video really quickly so I don't get in the way. Right?
Definitely.
So when I see what you do and then I see the connection we have, it's the frequency of wanting to help people that we share. And it's, I'm coming back to New York. Like, that's like a given. Like, Navreet and I are like trying to see like when we can do it, right? We'll visit you, we'll visit Howe, we'll go to the park, right? We'll go to all of your parks and pop up something, right? You can interview people, you can put yourself out there. People can come with their woo-woo spirituality and feel safe. And I can invite people to be on DeLulu. I want to like promote DeLulu in people communities more than technology because I want people to trust my energy.
And they have to encounter it to experience it.
I think so. I think I'm a lot. I mean, I know I know my energy comes across on screen, but in person, it's quite overwhelming and it really does disrupt people's nervous systems, which I love, and plants a seed that, like, you two can do something better. Just better.
And I love this
That.
conversation because it's I love your perspective and your view on the world because it's making me, I wouldn't even say re-examine what I'm doing, but it's making me realize that there isn't a separation of the person that I am, the guy who spent 8 years trying to be a musician, who was a spoken word poet, who did stand-up comedy. And the first 5 years of my tech career, I kind of felt that, oh, I've abandoned my dream. I thought,
Oh.
a colleague of mine wrote a song back in the day, "Live for music and die for your song" was one of the lines in her music. And I took that on as like the banner. And it's like, so now I've compromised. I've sold out to the corporate world. I'm doing this techie stuff. But I have developed a set of skills, as you said, where I can benefit the world. And it's not like, oh, technology is bad and this is good. It's all, what are you doing with it? Where, like you say, where is your energy with it? Where are you coming from? And I see, I feel that my energy is good. But like I said, I sit here surrounded by screens, so I don't have any way to field test it. And so just your sharing what our initial encounter was like, wow, I did think that I'm a good energy person. I have no way of reflecting that because I'm just talking to people on screens. So here's someone who doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, has said, no, I vibe with you. You're a good human being. I feel that. I felt your energy from the beginning. It's like, okay, just having that confirmation. Because as you know, we're not, no man is an island, John Donne, of course. Whoever said, but what I try to keep present with myself, and you were talking earlier about how people get so stuck just consuming information and staying here fixed on the screens. I want to use this because, like I said, I've been working with the web. Well, I've been working with technology since 93, since February of 93. That's 3 months before the World Wide Web. The internet existed before that, but the web, the ability to web browsers and all this, was launched to the world in May of that year. And I remember thinking, what an amazing thing that you can interact. Like now I am talking with you, you're in Toronto, I'm in New York. I have a young gentleman who last year asked me to mentor him. We met on a networking event. He lives in Nigeria. Okay.
Oh,
And
beautiful.
we're able to interact. So I did feel, because I worked for Financialize, I worked for Lehman Brothers, I worked for Paine Webber, and I sort of felt, well, this isn't really the world that's here. This is a bunch of people who already have money getting more money. I love that I've developed the skills. Like you said, you go to the schools, you get the degrees, but it's not about the sheepskin. It's about the experience. It's about the knowledge experts. It's about the people around you who are inquisitive and seeking knowledge. So I'm now reflecting, it's like all those years in tech, it wasn't that you were working for the man, for the big corporation. I was getting the skills that have prepared me to be who I am right now, to do what I've always wanted to do, which is to reach out to the world, to touch the world, to benefit the world, to do good things. And I suppose I've always known that, but I'm really becoming very aware of that in this conversation with you, and I thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. The reflection of that when I hear that from you is, you had your creativity in you. You put all that effort into it. It just didn't bring you the success financially that you needed, and everything's attached to that, unfortunately. But how lucky are you to spend those years even trying? The failing comes with the trying, and that's huge.
Right.
And then taking the job and putting your creativity away and coming back to the value of money for this tangible thing that everyone measures. You learned that whole system. You know what it feels like to do it. You can go back to it and make that money and be in that system anytime. So can I. Easy. On the other side, this, what we're choosing now, is risky. It's crazy sometimes. And it feels a little like, can I really do six things at once and make little bits of money? That's how I like it. I want five clients that I enjoy talking to. I love being a therapist, but with positivity, not pain. I want to teach people. I love teaching. I don't want to be committed to a classroom where I show up every Monday at 8 and people are getting marks for me. I want the classroom of life. Like, I talk about any subject, give it to me. I'm in. I can explore anything because I'm confident in my critical thinking because of education and not liking it.
It was a tool, not a straitjacket.
Yeah, everything's a tool. I wanted to be healthy. I wanted to feed myself good food. We know the frequency of food and the frequency of water and plastic. And our world is made for us to buy all that stuff, consumers. And I've been a consumer. How do you take away consumerism? You have to start looking at things and buying new things and testing it. So I did all the research. So I did a degree, right? I get a certificate in it. If I'm going to learn it, I might as well learn it with experts. Why learn it on the computer by myself? Join a course. Right? Do something with other people so my learning is always shared.
Well, you are the epitome of the lifelong learner, and that is something I hold dear to heart. In fact, I am the cobbler's children has no shoes. I've had an online education website for more than 5 years now. And I am working to like actually populate the knowledge. because I did workshops for years. I wrote a book in 2016, Do Business Better:
Nice.
Why Small Businesses Fail and How Not To. And that's
Ah.
my curriculum of what I call small business CPR: consistency, predictability, and replication. In order to be successful in anything, you have to deliver consistent quality. You have to
Yep.
predictably deliver it so people know when and how they can get it. And then you have to scale and expand, you have to be able to replicate the predictable delivery of that consistent quality. And
Yes,
a
that's
lot of
heavy.
that was me learning what I didn't know. Because as I say
Right.
in the introductory chapter of the book, 2 years of steady referrals almost ruined my business. Because as I was getting laid off of my last full-time job, I got my first private client by referral. I got steady work from them. I got referrals. They gave me steady work. I got secondhand referrals. And for 2 years, I was doing almost as well as my last full-time job, which was economically the best. It was a six-figure income. But after 2 years, the phone stopped ringing, and I realized that I was not the source of the referrals, and that for 2 years, I had not been doing business, but I had been doing work. Because business is not doing the thing, business is getting the thing to do. And I was like, oh, so I'm very good at what I do, but I don't know, other than some boss giving me the next gig, how do you get the gig?
Right.
And that was the series of exploration. I thought, well, if I didn't know this with all of my years of experience, I'm sure that there's other people out there very good at what they do.
Yeah.
They know how to do it as a trade, but they don't know
Yeah.
how to do it as a business. And so I'm
Yeah.
not one of those guys, get the $10,000 clients. Like, yeah, please. If you were making $10,000 a month, that's $500,000 a year. You're not trying to hustle me if you're making that much money. And it's not, I resent these throwing a number, showing me the lives of billionaires. I'm not trying to be a billionaire. I don't care
I
that much
know.
about money. Show me how to do what I do successfully. So as you said, I can
Yeah.
get the energy of the money to have more
Yeah.
money than I need so I can live a happy, healthy life. I can do good things and I don't have to stress like, oh my gosh, which bill do I pay? Which bill do I ignore?
Right?
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I want to teach the
Fund.
fundamentals.
Yeah, fund the fun.
Ooh,
Well,
say that
that
again. I
came up
love that.
yesterday. Fund the fun, right?
Yes.
We need you can make $150,000 and you can live a mediocre life. You can make $200,000 and live a mediocre life because you're just buying more with that money. You can make
Right.
half a million and still live a mediocre life because you're still buying more things.
Right.
It's making the money and having the hobbies at the same time so that they feed each other, right? If I can afford to go to New York, which I did,
Right.
it was not in my budget. I wasn't sure. I brought down my budget lower and I went with the idea that I was investing in myself. So if it cost me $1,000 to go to New York, I would pay $500 for a business coach for an hour. So $1,000 was, can I get every one of those people to give me one nugget of information that I walk away with? So I got like 25 business coaches for that $1,000.
Wow.
Right? That's how I
Okay.
set it up. My
Right.
struggle is now, what the fuck do I do with them all? Now I'm stuck because now I have 20 people that all want to talk to me. I do not
Right.
have a good funnel of bringing them in. I do not have, like, what am I doing with them? How do I
Right.
ask them to help me build DeLulu? Right? Because it's
Right.
good for everyone.
Right.
Like, it's non-generational, it's non-biased, it's in every language, it's culturally good. It like meets every accessibility and people need to trust me. So how do we build the trust? How much time does it take for me to do that now?
Right. Right.
So that's the place I'm in. It's like, I know I'm ready to grow and do. I'm just sitting in this place of like, oh no, oh no. What do I do first? Which direction? How much energy do I put to which person, which community, in person, on technology, which funnel, which social media? Like, what do I do first? And can I do it
Wow.
all at the same time? Not unless I have my messaging clear. So that comes back to me and my branding. So it is a
Right.
cycle of like crazy that is like keeping me here. I have like form, I gave myself till July 1st to finish it. I'm almost there, but it's daunting. It cost me a
Wow.
lot of imposter syndrome to like be able to stay in that conversation and do this.
Okay. Right. Well, July 1st, as of time of recording, that's only 3 days from now.
I know, I'm almost there.
Okay.
I have High Level as my CRM. I
Okay.
have my domains. My app is almost finished. There's a marketing funnel to go with it. Like all the pieces are there. I just don't know how they work together. Everyone's making me different pieces now.
Right.
It's putting them together. So, right. But figuring out all those pieces at the same time and all these community members that land in front of you, that it really is daunting. How do you connect them all, and what do you do with all these beautiful people?
Right. Well, that's interesting. Well, definitely, we should definitely talk all offline because, as I said, specifically what I do is using open source technology to resolve that very issue. You know, rather than having disparate parts, the funnel is here, the CRM is there, all of that is built into the one single platform. And it's all, since it's all on the same framework, it's all integrated. So there's not pulling the data from here to go to there and this over here and then the you know the sales is here, whether you're in Shopify or whatever have you. And if you want to have, you know, education stuff, you use Udemy or Kajabi or Teachable. No, it's all on one single solid platform, and they all play nice with each other and talk. So it's one central database rather than I got to pull the data from here to go over there and then over here into that and those disparate parts. And as I hear myself talking about what I'm up to in the world, and I am excited. I was literally just having a conversation with a good friend of mine that I've known since the beginning of my independent career and also a client. And I was talking about the fact that my client, I think I've been with them for, or they've been with me for 10 years now, Haitian American Nurses Association of Greater New York. They had a change of president because it's a volunteer. They're all full-time nurses and they're part of this. So the new president was really more actively working with me than the old president. And she was asking me some things about, well, you know, the registration and the forms, could we do this? Like, yeah, everything you're asking me, we can do. It's in the platform. And she's at one point said, oh, I thought we just had a website. And I'm thinking, okay. And I actually have workshops that I do on marketing. I have one thing called Drawing the Map, Marketing, Advertising, and Promotion. And why they're separate things. And in that order, you know, you market your brand, you advertise your product, you promote your business, and you do it in that order. So I was like, I need to eat my own pudding because this organization is, I've built this platform for them 10 years ago. And she's just discovering the stuff that it does that is always done. So that's because I haven't conveyed, talking about value. I haven't conveyed to them the value they've already consumed for me. They've already bought it. They own the platform. And it's like, so, but if like if I give a starving man a larder full of, you know, meals, but I don't tell him it's there and he starves to death 5 feet away from the larder, I haven't given him any value. You know? And again, it's about that communication. And it's about, as you again, I love this conversation. It's about getting past the, it's not about the money. It's about what are we exchanging here as people? What's the energy that's going back and forth? You know? And
Do you believe that everything has value, but sometimes if we take the value off the amount, that it just starts coming around and like it just will start working if all of these entrepreneurs and solopreneurs that are working together just start funding each other, not going to the big ones that are using their money on AI to get bigger and bigger marketing, but more keep it at this frequency of just circling through our own
oh
like
yes.
communities.
Oh yes. In fact, that's why the name of my business is Commune IT Solutions. You know, full name 21st Century Commune IT Solutions, but that because I founded it in 2006. And it's like, yeah, we're 26 years into the 21st century. So kind of like Federal Express shortened itself to FedEx and United
I
Parcel
love it.
Services is UPS. So I've just diminished it down to Commune IT. And it's interesting, talk about conversation with people. When I came up with that name, I was parsing it as IT solutions for the community. And last year I was having a conversation again with my good friend Vio. And he made me realize it's like, no, dude, it's community solutions that happen to involve IT. And
Beautiful.
that's what flipped the script. And it's like, I named the company, you know, and I didn't even realize that because it's the word community with the drop the Y and the IT at the end are capitalized. You know, and it's like,
Yeah.
right, that's why I picked that name. It's about the community. And here's the thing, my horizontal
Right.
logo, the third tagline I came, which is the one that stuck, it says Community IT Solutions, and then the log line is the tech doesn't matter. Because it's not about the tech. We use tech. Like
Sure,
if you
but
fix
yeah.
my sink, I don't really care what kind of wrench you use to tighten up the
Right.
bulge. Did you fix it? Does the toilet flush? That's what matters,
Yeah.
not the gear. So
Yeah.
I'm learning, and I love the fact that I'm learning about my own stuff, my own thing, my own journey, my own adventure. And that's what I love about community. That's what I love about conversation. That's what I love about this
Yeah.
podcast, that I get to
Yeah.
talk with people and hear what they're up to in the world, and it enlightens me about what I'm up to in the world.
Yeah.
So as we
That's
conclude things,
beautiful.
what would you like to say? Thank you so much. And what would you like to say as we wrap things up, at least for this first episode? What would you like to say in closing?
The first thing that comes right to mind is how grateful I am that a moment in time where I met somebody's energy, that it was able to like grow to this in a week without, again, no measurement, just like it just happened. It just was flowing. I like to take measurement out of the currency of energy and kind of just be like, this is so valuable to me. Valuable.
Yes.
This brings my whole weekend into, you know, a beginning. You saw me exactly who I wanted to be. You saw that person. So that means I'm actually embodying it,
Right.
which is a great reflection for me. And here you have this opportunity to do an energy on it on your own, you know, ecosystem and nervous system. What am
Yeah.
I doing well? And what do I need to do a little bit better? I think
Yeah.
it's time to do a little bit better. This is not good enough for me. I need a
Right.
little bit more. So, what's the next step for me? It's that activation I bring to the table, which I love. So, I'm seeing that more and more. So, thank you for that. And second, that I feel really confident in talking about DeLulu today. And I woke up this morning actually with my first. I'm learning to remember my dreams. I do not remember anything when I wake up. So I sleep with a journal under my pillow. Someone told me to do that. And I've been practicing for 2 weeks to actually, like, kind of. And this morning it was like, I imagined DeLulu being real for the first time, like, really being real in people's hands. And then here I had this opportunity to talk about it from that perspective that only came to me this morning because I've been practicing to remember things in my sleep. And then here it is, you brought it all out in this conversation, like that we didn't even know we were going to have. So the universe
Right.
is directing us and we're stepping into
Right.
it, which is quantum theory at my right at our feet.
Yes. And my friend Vio always likes to say, you know, quantum theory, spooky action at a distance. And you know, it's you know, but he applies it to this, not to astrophysics or going to the moon or finding out what dark matter or energy is, but as you're saying here, this human exchange, this building the human earthbound community. And the whole the quantum of it, you know, just the
Yeah.
intangibles intermingling and intertwining and interacting. And Shauna, it is my absolute pleasure. This has been such a delightful conversation. I am so glad that here we are a
Me
week to the
too.
day that we've had this conversation. I look forward to many more conversations
Yeah.
between us. And I definitely offline would love to discuss with you your journey of building your platform and however I can
Yes.
be of assistance to you. And I like to say to those of you out in podcast land, before we go, just here's how you can get in touch with Shauna. Her website is https://getcurious.delulutoday, DELULUtoday.com. And you can get in touch with her at hello@shaunalynne.com. Shauna is shaunalynne.com. And for those of you watching this on the video, of course, you just heard me read what you're already seeing on the screen, but so be it. So once again, thank you so much, Shauna. It's been such a, I guess, I wish you all the success. And as I said last Saturday, and I'm not even kidding, I've never been up to Canada. I've never been north of the US border, and I definitely look forward to going now that I have someone up there that I know and who can be a tour guide for me and a host. And I certainly look forward to it because I've been saying since I've been getting out more, there's a world out there and it's got me in it.
Yeah. Good. And I'm over here pulling you into mine. So let's
Yes,
go.
indeed, definitely. And folks, once
Thank
again,
you.
thank you for joining us here on the Failure Guy podcast. Remember, as I always say, life is not a competition. The only person, if we're comparing ourselves to anyone at all, is who we were yesterday. And remember, in the race of life, what matters is to never stop and keep running. And until the next time, remember, the next one is always the best one. I will see you again. I have been Cornell Green, and this is The Failure Guy.
Thank you.